get started on Parsha. Okay? Okay. So you can turn to the last page, and that's where I brought the Parsha materials. My question is flowers on a flag. We need to go through the story a little bit. I gave you the psukim, the source number one. No, we never did the Dudaim.
I like the title.
Thank you. We never discussed the Dudaim in our shiur. So we are now parachuting into the middle of the birth of the children of Yaakov, Leah, Rachel, Bilhah, Zilpah. At this stage in our story, Leah had four sons, right? Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Leah saw that she could not have more children. She had stopped having children. Rachel is having trouble also. Rachel gives Bilhah to Yaakov. Bilhah has two kids. Leah says, that's a neat strategy. She gives Zilpah to Yaakov, and Zilpah has two more kids. And then you get this story. I'm skipping completely in our discussion all of the problems involved in the polygamy aspects of this story, as well as this whole culture of I am valuable if I produce more children. And those are fascinating things. They're just not going to fit into
this,
this. So this story is told this way. This is my English translation. Reuben went during the wheat harvest, and he found Dudaim in the field, and he brought them to his mother, Leah. Okay. Reuben at this stage has to be somewhere around 4 or 5 years old.
That's it.
The way you know that is because Yaakov is with Laban for 20 years. His first 7 years, he's working for Rachel and Leah. So you know for sure that it's after that, obviously. You also know that, looking at the end, after Yosef is born, that's when Yaakov comes to Laban and says, I want to leave. And for 6 years after that, he's trying to get paid. Right? The Parsha gives you, and you read it and you'll see it gives you the whole chronology. So you now, that means that all the children are born somewhere between year 8 and year 14. And realize that after this story, you still have two more sons being born to Leah, plus you have Dina, plus you have Rachel having Yosef. So, there's just, how old can he possibly be? So the Midrashim, I think I brought it in my notes for how old Reuven was. You find the Psikta Zutrata says Reuven is 4 years old at this point. Radak says he's about 7 years old. But whatever it is. He comes home from the field. It's the time of the wheat harvest. Everybody's out there with their sharp objects, cutting wheat, and you got this little 4 or 5 year old who's running around there. And look, Ma, I found Dudaim. And he brings them home to his mom. And Rachel says to Leah, I don't mean to minimize Reuven in any way, shape, or form. He's one of the Shvatim. Please don't take that as taking him lightly. It was just me telling a story. Fine. Rachel says to Leah, please give me from your sons Dudaim. Me Dudaim b'nei. She didn't say I want all of them. Give me some of the Dudaim. And Leah replies, is this a small thing that you took my husband? You would take my son's Dudaim? That we talked about in Ashir. That's what you're remembering.
Yeah.
We talked about how Leah can say to Rachel, you took my husband.
Yeah,
that's
right,
totally
yeah.
opposite.
Yeah.
So that we talked about, and we talked about whether Leah is really hated and what that means. And yeah, you're right. We did have a Ashir on that. But not about the Dudaim per se. So she says, it's a small thing. You took my husband. You're going to take the Dudaim as well. And Rachel says, okay, here's the deal. He'll be with you tonight in exchange for the Dudaim that you give me.
I mean, this is bizarre. Like, they must have been the world's most amazing flowers.
Well, that's the funny thing. We're going
to
hold that thought because we're going to come back to that. We're going
to
come back to that as well. Really?
I had no idea.
So this story is not a highlight for Rachel. The Medrash says that this actually is the cause of her not being buried in Ma'aras HaMachpelah. Leave aside the reason for her to be where she is buried in Kevar Rachel, but she doesn't make it into there because she gave away her husband in exchange for the Dudaim. So, as a punishment, she loses the right to be buried with him in Ma'aras HaMachpelah. It does, though, seem to be a highlight of sorts for Leah. And here you get this Medrash, which I brought you in source number 2, which I'm not going to read out inside just because of time. But you'll see it there. You know that when the Jews travel in the Midbar, right, on their way to Eretz Yisrael, they travel in blocks of 3 Shvatim. So Reuven is one block, and Yehuda has another block, and Ephraim has another block, and Dan has another block. And they all have Dgalim. They have flags. And apparently there are flags for each Shevet, but there are also flags for each block. And as this Medrash reports, Yehuda has a lion on his flag, which makes sense because Yehuda gets the bracha, Gur Aryeh Yehuda. Yaakov said that they are a young lion. Okay, so put a lion up on your flag. I get that. Yosef's group, led by Ephraim, they have a shore, an ox, which again makes sense because Yosef is known with the shore. Yaakov says, Ikru shore, they uprooted the shore. Maybe that's a reference to Yosef. And the end of the Chumash, Moshe will say, Bechor Sharo Hadar Lo. So there's the ox. That also works. Dan has a nesher, which we've talked about as either an eagle or a vulture. And there's a lot of discussion about why a nesher and what that has to do with Dan, but that's not our Shia right now. And then the one for Reuven has the Dudaim, which are in the image of a person. We're going to talk a little bit about what the Dudaim are and why a person. I'm not there yet, but that's what's on his flag. And the question that I have is, why is this on Reuven's flag? Like, what? Why are you putting these flowers that he picked when he was 5 years old and brought to his mom on the flag? Like, there's no other event in his life. There's no other significance that you could find for him. Like, you're going to put the Dudaim on the flag? It just seems so strange. He gets punished for other problems.
But that whole story, he gets punished for, right?
No, he does not get punished for Dudaim. Reuven has done nothing wrong in the Dudaim story. So I actually discussed this with some kids at Or Chaim. We have a cocoa club before davening in the morning, and I raised this question, and one of the kids said to me, well, he's kibud av v'aim, right? He's honoring his mother by bringing his mother nice flowers. So I thought that was a nice idea. It's the highlight of his life, and forever after. Now his flag has the Dudaim that he brought his mother when he was five. It's like you save the things that your kid made for you, right? Mother's Day card. What? Sorry?
But why is it represented by a person, not flowers?
Right, so I'll talk about the person, the idea that they look like a person. So I think pshat in why this is said to be on the flag, the simple, straightforward explanation is simply because in the first parak in Yechezkel, we get a description of Hashem's throne room. Mm-hmm. And we are told about four creatures that represent the different sides of Hashem's throne. I was going to bring it on the sheet. I didn't actually bring it on the sheet. I don't know why. But it's Yechezkel Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud. And there we find these four creatures.
Which one?
So the ox, the nesher, the lion, and the human being. Those are the four sides. So since when the Jews camp, they're camped around the Mishkan, right? You have Hashem, so to speak, in the middle. So these are Hashem's Merkava. So it only makes sense to try to do that. And well, I'm looking around, and lion makes sense for Yehuda, check. And ox makes sense for Yosef, so that's good. Nesher. Is Reuben going to be Nesher? Well, I don't know. What do you have to do with the Nesher? All right, Adam. He's going to be the human being because it's the Dudaim. And that's a possible explanation. I suggest that that's actually probably pshat in this Medrash that says so. The Radak notes that we're taught that the Jews saw Hashem's throne room at Har Sinai. So they actually would have seen these images from Yechezkel, and they would have said, let's use them on our flags. I think Radak's point is an important one. So that's one reason why it's on the flag, is because it's part of paralleling Hashem's throne room. A second idea is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin in source number 4. The Gemara wants to know, why did the Torah mention that it was at the time of the wheat harvest? Like, why'd you throw in the wheat harvest in this story? Who cares about the wheat harvest? And the idea is, as explained in the Gemara, that it was a time when the fields were open. Everybody could come in to glean, right? Remember, Rus is during the Ketzir Chitim, the time of the wheat harvest. And so Reuven is not taking from somebody else's stuff. He's taking stuff that's been abandoned. I always find that interesting. Dasi asked the question before, like, how great are these flowers that she's willing to trade her husband, you know, for it? When you realize Reuven just found them at random in the field. Like, maybe they were rare, but, you know, it's just like, you know, this kid wandering around found them. Maybe she could have just sent somebody else to get more Dudaim instead of having a trade.
It's like a four-leaf clover kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, maybe. So this is something that is, you know, that is important because it shows us Reuven's ethics. That Reuven went to take these Dudaim, and that's all he took. He didn't take the wheat, and he didn't invade anybody's property. He took that which was available. Now, so somebody asked me this morning when I was talking about this, one of the students asked, so, you know, the big honor that we give to the Shvatim is that they didn't steal? I mean, that's kind of a low bar.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The valid point. So the third approach is that it expresses Leah's devotion to creating our national future. Right? The simple read of the Dudaim is that they are a fragrant plant that Rachel wants. Dudaim show up twice in Tanakh, once in Shir HaShirim, once in Yechezkel. I gave you the references in sources 5 and 6. One in Shir HaShirim, HaDudaim Nasnu Reach, they give forth a nice smell, and then in Yirmiyahu, they're baskets of figs. The Rashi in Shir HaShirim suggests they are jasmine. Rashi on our parsha says jasmine. Ramban says no, your botanical identification is wrong. It's a whole thing. Ibn Ezra and Ramban say it's some sweet-smelling plant. And the simple read of the story is Rachel likes them because they smell nice. That's what she's looking for. You have other ideas. The Gemara brings various names of things that we don't know. Rabbeinu Meyuchas, an early commentary, suggests that they're truffles that you dig up from the ground. Ibn Ezra notes, and you saw it in the Medrash, that they have a human form. And that's why some call them mandrakes, because apparently mandrakes legendarily have a human form. I don't know. I didn't see Harry Potter movies, so I don't know what the mandrakes look like, but maybe somebody else can inform me. But the plain read of the story, that it's just the smell nice, raises questions. Because if it's just a fragrant plant, really, Rachel can't get her own? Like, why is it such a thing? You know, give me yours. Why does Leah jump from, you're going to take my flower, you took my husband, now you're going to take my flowers? Like, that seems a little dramatic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The flowers still valuable.
And right after this, it says Hashem heard Leah and she had a child. She has Yisachar. Right. Like, for sharing your perfume? Like, what was that about? And that leads to the classic read in the Medrash that Hindi mentioned, which is that this is meant to be a fertility thing of some kind. And Leah is trading it for extra access to Yaakov. Now, the Mefarshim, the commentators here, all say they're skeptical about whether this actually would work. Ibn Ezra thinks it does not work. Ramban says he hasn't seen this in any medical books. Radak says, of course not, they didn't work. Right?
Because Rachel didn't have kids
with a Dudaim. Yeah. And Leah, it says Hashem heard her and she had children. Right. And they didn't have a Dudaim working. So Radak doesn't like this idea either. But people thought that it did. And so that's a suggestion that Radak brings, that Rachel thought that that would be so. Ramban says, oh, come on, Rachel would have davened. She wouldn't have relied on this intervention, to which Abarbanel says, what do you mean? Everybody uses medical intervention. You do that and you daven. You don't do one and not the other.
But she was looked upon as badly in the story.
Yeah, for trading Yaakov.
Right, but when Leah says the word, like, now you took my husband and my flowers too, doesn't ask, like, Rachel, like,
I didn't know
what the whole story was?
That's the story. That's, you know, I could answer that Leah is wounded by what Rachel has done. She's wounded by the fact that Yaakov clearly prefers Rachel. And that's informing her approach to it. She's in pain. As opposed to Rachel, who's like, yeah, okay, fine. I really want these Dudaim. They smell nice. Can you, you know, you can take my husband. You know, it seems a little bit different from Leah.
No, but
Leah.
It seems like Leah might not have known of the whole story with Rachel giving over Yaakov from that comment.
Right, so that goes back to the Shir. We had this.
Right?
No, we had. So we had this whole discussion of what Leah knew and when did she know it? Yeah, that's a good question. There is a view that she didn't know, although it's very hard to sustain.
She didn't know what?
That she didn't know that Rachel was the one. That Leah really thought. There is a view that Leah never knew that Rachel swapped. She thought Yaakov wanted to marry her.
So why did Rachel have to give her the simanim?
This is not following
that
Medrash. This is disagreeing with that Medrash.
The simanim is not in the Torah?
This is the first time
Rachel gave her the simanim?
She honestly thought she should marry
him. She thought that he wanted
to marry him. So yeah, I mean, that's the whole, like, we spend an hour on that story.
Right.
So I'm not doing that right now. But I really wanted to get to the fourth one. You always want to get to the last answer. But the idea here is that, and this is brought in the Medrash in source number 7, that what the Dudaim represent is Leah's great desire to produce more of Klal Yisrael. And that's why they're there. That really about Reuven. Reuven just played a role in the story. It's really fundamentally about Leah pursuing motherhood. So you see in source number 3, I gave you a list of answers. The first answer is it's on Reuven's flag because it completes this divine throne, and Reuven has the Dudaim because they may have this, you know, human form to them. The roots have a human form. Fine. Maybe it's about Reuben's ethics. Maybe it's about Leah wanting to produce more of Klal Yisrael. However, the fourth approach is remarkably creative. It's Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch. I'm saying it as pshat in the story, but at the same time, the more you look at it, the more you think, huh, that's a really interesting read. He goes back to the story and he says, you're misreading the whole story. Go back to the, either you can read his comments in number 8, or you can just go back to the psukim that I brought you in the beginning in source number 1. I'm going to read it through based on the psukim. Reuben comes in from the wheat harvest, right? And he's been hanging out there watching everybody and whatever. He found Dudaim in the field, these nice sweet smelling grasses, herbs, whatever they are. And he brings them back to his mother. His mother is sitting with Rachel. Says of Shimshon Rafael Hirsch, that's so nice. It's this great scene, right? Rachel and Leah are just hanging out together during the day. Like that's, you know, they get along well. It's everybody's together. There's no enmity, there's no jealousy or anything. He brings the Dudaim. Rachel says, oh, wouldn't it be nice if you gave me some of that? I'd like to have some of these Dudaim. And Leah gives her from the Dudaim and says they're kind of joking, is the way that Rav Hirsch writes it. He says, like, oh, you took my husband, now you're going to take the Dudaim? But it's a friendly comment. And Rachel says, you know, since you already gave them to me, it's not like a transaction. You already gave it. Therefore, since you already gave it, you know, you can have them tonight. It's so nice. And they are all just like getting along and they're all b'shalom with each other. I'm having a hard time saying it with a straight face, but this is Shimshon Rafael Hirsch.
So why would this story be recorded and have so much significance if it was like a little joking little episode in the middle of a, I don't know, whatever.
Right.
Because they hated each other at points also, that no one's taking that as well.
Where do you see that? Where do you see that they hated each other?
Wasn't there like a huge jealousy between them when she wasn't having any kids and Leah was...
So there is a lot of pain between them when they're not having kids. Yes.
You don't hear so much about their really like friendship between them,
right,
and this lovey-dovey. It's like to teach.
Yeah, right. So Rav Hirsch is saying that they actually didn't blame each other. Right. Right. The fact that they didn't blame each other is what he argues is the great value. He doesn't say this in response to the flag question. I'm borrowing it for that. But he's saying it's teaching us that even though they are upset, Rachel is miserable about not being able to have kids, and Leah is miserable about Yaakov preferring Rachel, nonetheless, there's shalom between them. And he believes that that's what's going on in this story, and that's the message that we're supposed to take from it, is to teach that they have shalom despite everything. I told you in the beginning that pshat in the story, as far as I'm concerned, is the first answer. It's Radaki Nechezgel that the Jews saw the Merkava. They wanted to have manifestations of each of those four symbols, and they found a way and said, well, Dudaim have this human form, and that's what we're going to use for Reuven's block.
That doesn't explain why the Dudaim are so important in the story.
No, this isn't about that. This is just why are there flowers on a flag? That's my that's the question that I was looking to.
I'm more curious what the whole thing with the Dudaim. Why the Dudaim?
I'm very upset. I can't handle this because Rachel, I mean, is very in trouble. A terrible life here, and she wanted to make. You said.